Diplomat Specialty Pharmacy.
Hi, how are you doing? And first, I want to thank MDS for putting this on. It's not often that we all get together and discuss the things that really need to be discussed. But I am Michael, and I represent Diplomat Specialty Pharmacy. And what that means is basically we are a pharmacy, like your neighborhood pharmacy, like Rite Aid or CVS. But we go beyond just, dispense your medications. As the physicians stated, a lot of these drugs are expensive. Revlimid, X-Shade. Revlimid tends to be, anywhere between $7,000 and $11,000 per cycle, so your 28-day supply, it can be about $11,000. And a lot of these, patients don't tend to know the prices because they don't need to know. I mean, the last thing you need to worry about is, the drug that could save your life or could, extend your life is $11,000, and how are you supposed to obtain that money? So what we do is, upon receiving your prescription, we process it, we do the prioritization, and for a lot of Medicare patients, every Medicare patient actually, in the beginning of the year, you will come out with a donut hole. And that donut hole can vary between $2,300 to $2,800. And typically what happens is we reach out to the patient and say, hey, this is your copay, and what the next step is, patient says, oh my God, that's the initial reaction. And where do you go from there? And we start asking questions, what's your income? How many household members do you have? Do you have any past due medical bills? And a lot of times is, this is my income, and yes, I have medical bills, and or I'm supporting myself, or I have my wife is going through some stuff as well, whatever it is. So we take that information and we apply it to a foundation. There's various foundations throughout the nation. Chronic Disease Fund, they are a wonderful foundation. PAF, PANF, Cancer Cares, all these foundations are put in place to help not only Medicare patients, but patients that cannot afford their copays. And the manufacturers do help out a lot. I mean, they have copay cards, but those are geared towards patients who have private insurances because manufacturers cannot help a Medicare patient in that sense. They can give out free drug if you're off-label or, you have no insurance, whatnot. So the next step is we, apply it to that foundation, and depending on your income, you can vary on the copay. So you could have a $0 copay, you could have a $10 copay, or $5 copay, whatever it is. So initially, you went from that $11,000 to whatever your insurance covered, which is usually the rest other than the $2,800, and then the foundation covers the rest. So they grant you an amount, let's say for, I know some of you took the pamphlet, for Revlimid they can grant you up to $10,000 a year. So what does that mean? Let's say your drug is prescribed to you in January. It's a brand new drug, you were just diagnosed, the physician said, here's Revlimid, you came to whatever pharmacy, and they ran your prescription, you get a copay of $2,800. So they applied you to a foundation, as we did, and the $2,800 is covered. Next step is, next month, February comes around, you run the refill, and you then pay 5%, which is called a catastrophic stage. So 5% of that $10,000, or whatever the drug is, I'm going to use $10,000 example, so you have to pay $500 in February for your copay. So for a Medicare patient that's maybe, on retirement or making $30,000 a year, for two people, that's quite a bit. So the foundation, because they grant you $10,000, that lasts you for the rest of the year. So your $500 is covered in February, March, April, May, all the way until you either run out of funds or it resets, which we then reapply to. So we are a pharmacy that does all that for you. So, some things that I just stated, you probably never heard of. You don't know what a donut hole is. You don't know that there's foundations out there for you. And that's where we come into play. Is these drugs are amazing. Revlimid is amazing. X-Shade is amazing. But if you can't get your hands on them, they're pointless. What are they going to do for you? So whenever we, help out, that's what we do. And people ask, well, how do you make money and how much does this cost? And there's a catch to everything. Nothing's free. Well, actually, it is free. We don't charge for anything we do. This is compliance packaging. So instead of you getting your medication in a vial, we can patch you like this for free. You say, I want a care pack, and we do it for you like this. Because, to be honest, I'm 25, and I don't know if I took my vitamins today. I don't remember. If I'm on 20 medications, the last thing I remember is, did I take this or not? How many must this take? What did he say? So this is packaged however your physician prescribed it. every other day, you know, two pills a day, whatever it is. It's childproof, you know, so your granddaughter doesn't open it, so they can't get the drugs out, and it's free of cost. So all of this, and there's other, you know, pharmacies out there that do similar products and similar services. Always ask your physician, always ask your nurse, what could my copay be? What could this be? What could that be? Because unless you know, you're just going to come back to them and say, I can't afford this. I can't take the drug. You know, what's my next step? Or you go, well, I got to sell my car, you know, to pay for these services, to pay for these drugs. So bottom line is ask questions. My card is out on the table. If you ever have questions, you can email me, you can call me, and I'd be more than happy to help. So, questions?
Question.
Yes.
I just got on the program. This probably is my first month they're sending it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they okayed it for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after that?
As far as what program you're calling, you're talking about a foundation or?
I don't know. I went through CuraScript.
Okay.
And then I have to send my financials.
So basically what happens is I assume they applied you to a foundation, that if that's what we're talking about.
I don't know what they did. But
so if it's a foundation that they applied you to, it depends on the foundation. They either go by, you know, a 12-month cycle. So if you went from April, they approved you through April. Or some foundation going, you got approved through April, well, it ends in December. Typically, a pharmacy, you know, some do, some don't. I can't answer for everyone. Prior to you running out of funds, or prior to those funds expiring, they will reapply you to that foundation.
So I was under the impression Celgene itself is actually the ones who...
It depends on your situation. If you're an insured or you're off-label, you are insured. Are you on Medicare? It's a private insurance. Then most likely Celgene got involved. I mean, I don't know your situation. I would need to know, is Celgene providing you the drug?
Yes.
So your insurance is not being billed then, or is it?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. See, I would need to know, because in a case where either your insurance didn't cover it or it's not on a formulary, Celgene would step in and they would give you a year's worth of free drug. You would need to then follow up with your physician and Celgene to see if they've reapplied you or to the pharmacy. Because once Celgene steps in, the pharmacy that you originally went through doesn't have anything to do with. Because if we process a prescription and it has to go through Celgene, we step away. I mean, we do all the paperwork, and once you get the drug, we're good to go, but we don't fill the drug. They take care of that end. So you need to know.
They could cut you off anytime they want.
They will not cut you off anytime they want. No, they will. If you've been aware of the years with the drug, Celgene will never cut you off. No manufacturer's going to go, oh, that's it, you know, we're not going to give you drug. They will try to help you obtain insurance, you know, or they'll work with your insurance company to get it covered, because obviously, you know, the drug's $10,000, they're just giving it away. So they'll do everything they can to help you out to get you on that insurance, or to the right insurance, whatever it is. Any other questions? No? Okay. Well, like I said, my contact info is there. If at any point you come across a situation where you don't know what to do or have questions, just shoot me a line or give me a call.
Well, actually,
yes.
all of a sudden, you know, because for 3 months I was paying, and my insurance was paying $10,000 for the drug,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you don't pay anything. You go, am I getting the same thing? You know, am I getting like a reject from Celgene?
No, there is no generic of the drugs. The only manufacturer is Celgene, and I assume it will stay that way because of the strict guidelines for this drug, and you're not supposed to even look.
You're getting exactly the same
thing. You are getting exactly the same thing, and it might even come with a bow on it from Celgene. I don't know. So,
a bow.
Kisses and bows, yeah. Hershey's kisses. So, well, thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions about building blocks of hope or anything we've gone over so far today? This is kind of just an open discussion time. Anything, just...
maybe you covered this or it's in the book, but what's the background for this? I'm just curious how the story and how it came
Sure, so that the MDS Foundation, it's a... She wanted to know how the Building Blocks of Hope came about, and it's the MDS Foundation is a group of nurses, doctors who work together throughout the U.S. and other countries, and came together and decided that there needed to be better hands-on education for patients, and over time worked together to come up with this, the book. And you'll see in there all the participants who helped bring it together.
Yes. Do doctors get some of your literature and some of the supporting? Because I always feel like we go to oncologists, they have so much more dramatic cases that I always feel like we're like stepchildren in an oncology office. So do they get information of support, what we need and all that?
We can send them the information and support if you know if they reach out to us or the nurses there reach out to us and ask for it. We don't just send out the information.
I can't make you send it to them. No.
You could mention it to them, and you know, maybe by chance they would, you know, the nurse or the doctor would be interested in getting their hands on some so that other patients there have that available to them. Yes.
If they haven't found a match for a person, what do you recommend that he or she do, or is there anything that they can do if they can't find a match?
For stem cell transplant?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep, no. So if they can't find a match, then just would be continuing on whatever treatment you're on to try to keep things stable. You know, continue with transfusions, continue with whatever, if it's chemotherapy, Bidaza, and then they can continue to search through the National Marrow Donor Program, you know, continue that bone marrow search.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to add, if you're in a community and you're close to either a church or some kind of community organization, I know in our community we have, it's really an easy test to do.
Yeah, it's just a swab. So some people, you know, if they have a family member or friend that is in need of a transplant and they can't find a donor, they put together drives. Where they get people to swab and donate. And I think the website is just NMDP, National Marrow Donor Program, .org. You'd probably be able to get information on there.
And help in mm-hmm. putting a drive together.
Exactly, yeah. Good question. Yes.
Is there any support group in Northern California?
Let me check with Audrey because she helps put together support groups. If there's not a support group, yeah. Is there a support group in Northern Arizona or Northern California? Yeah.
Yes.
Where?
And if I'm not mistaken, in your packets, oh no, it's not in your packet today, I'm sorry. But on our website, there are two groups that meet in Northern California. One is at Stanford, and it's actually up on our website on www.mds-foundation.org. You look on our calendar, we have all of the meeting dates on our calendar, and it gives the location. Once you leave here, if you're interested in going, just email me or get onto the foundation website, and there'll be a link to email me, and I can give you that information.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another group, too. They meet at a Presbyterian church, I think quarterly, and I can't think of the name. It's near Palo Alto, though, just on the outskirts.
That's
but there are
Stanford.
two
that
groups.
That is a Stanford one,
yeah. That's
yeah.
Stanford.
The
that
one group
Stanford.
Does meet at Stanford,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's led by Len Fector, who's on our nurse leadership board, just like Emily is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great group, and they meet regularly. So it's up on the calendar, I do know, on our website.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, does anyone else have any questions about, you know, we can take questions about anything really. Part of the segment today was quality of life, and I know that when you have MDS and you find out you have MDS, you know, you have to change how you live because of appointments, if you're on treatment, transfusions, and that can be hard to deal with. So support groups can be a big help. We want you to know that you can, you know, go to the MDS Foundation website, reach out to us if there's information or support we can give you. We'll be there for you.
Are there contact people, like patients, that you can contact through them and have a conversation going?
There is an online support group through the Foundation website, which you'd be able to, if you go to the website, you'll be able to find. Mm-hmm.
Does MDS have any type of advocacy on behalf of MDS
study?
One of the things that just discussed after the break, during the break,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that all hospitals don't collect the core blood from birth.
Right.
Which simply is, I say, go to waste, it's not used. And with MDS and other diseases similarly, it just seemed to me like, how would you justify just throwing that away? Is there an advocacy of some sort, whatever, that would, you know,
that's
encourage
right.
hospitals to collect that? And maybe they do need some type of central storage or some form of doing that. But it just seems such an awful waste
mm-hmm.
for that not to happen. And I don't think any of the mothers would object to that being collected, whatever.
Right. I don't know that there is an advocacy group that looks at that, collecting all cord blood. I know it's probably a financial issue. I don't know how much money is involved, and then you have to figure out storage. So there's a lot of logistical things to think about. But yeah, definitely something that could be looked into. Mm-hmm. Well, if no one has any other questions, we can, you know, you're free to go, free to chat amongst each other. I hope you found the meeting today helpful and informative.
I'd like to say thank you very much.
Yes,
for
thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I have, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.